Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. You can call in at 790-2040. We're expecting to hear from Ronnie Veal here any moment now. Was kind of in communication with him over the break. So we'll see if we go one for two in the guests. I know Heath will probably be there somewhere along the hour. We'll see what happens.
One for two, you could still get a bowl game, you know.
Batting 500. I can make millions going 500. I think here he is. So we'll talk some ASU football, U of A football. Back in the day, Ronnie was the quarterback when I covered the team. Ronnie, are you there?
Yes.
How are you, Ron?
I'm doing well. And you?
Good. Fine, thank you. Glad to have you on my show. I haven't talked to you in a number of years. How are things going? Are you in Atlanta now, Georgia?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. What are you up to?
I just train quarterbacks, and I'm a firefighter.
You're a firefighter. Cool. So yes. Tell me, you were here in the late 80s. Did you? I don't think you ever lost to ASU, did you?
No, we didn't. We tied them, and we beat them three times.
Yeah, your tie was your freshman year, correct?
Correct.
And then you won. How was that? How was that run?
It was fun. It was the first time I experienced it because coming from Florida, I didn't know the magnitude of it. So once I got to the stadium, I kind of figured it out pretty quickly that they kind of hated us because they threw oranges at us, and they threw piss and beer on us. So.
Right. At their place, obviously.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's when you tied them. Did you, I can't remember, I didn't cover that first year. I was your sophomore, junior, and senior year. Did you actually play in that first game, first year?
Yeah, I started that game.
Oh, you did? So you were a four-year starter mm-hmm. from off and on. So tell me, what was that game like, being a starter in that big of a game?
It was interesting. It was different. It was, the stadium was packed. There was a lot of energy in it, and like I say, I really didn't understand how deep the rivalry was until I actually played the game itself.
And what'd you find out?
You find out is that it's almost like I use the term cutthroat. That's the biggest game of the year in most programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can have bragging rights for 12 months.
Right. And you did. That first one was a tie. I know it was kind of a weird year, that whole year for the first year of Dick Tomey. How was that first year under Tomey?
It was good. You know, it was my first time meeting him, so I couldn't have anything to judge against. So he was a good coach. He had to play a freshman because of situations, and I appreciate him letting me play. He was a good guy. He was a player's coach.
Right. I'm sure. Have you talked to him lately?
I talked to him 2 years ago when I came for homecoming.
Mm-hmm. How was that?
It was good. He was good.
Yeah, I can't remember.
He's still around, so
yeah.
I see him all the time when we come back.
Yeah. He was here in Tucson enjoying his grandkids. In fact, Rich told me, sent me a note this morning about the shows, and then I'll be talking to him next week. So, you know, we're all getting right. older, that's all.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me how it was your second year. That's when I first came on the scene and started covering you, and you were sharing the ball, I think, with Bobby Waters.
Yeah, and the second year, they played us at home, and we had, I think we threw three touchdowns against them. We threw a Hail Mary just before halftime to Derek Hill, and that kind of sealed the deal for us going into the second half. And we took it to them at home that year.
How was it beating them and knowing that you had that rivalry? Because it was before you got here, Arizona had dominated, if you can say dominated, five straight wins, and then came the tie, and then you kind of got back to winning again against them.
It's fine. You know, like I said, it's like one of the biggest rivalries in the programs, and it always was our goal at that time to play those guys and beat those guys. And all the old players will come back and say, you know, you got to beat Arizona State. The whole week of practice, you got veterans coming back, guys who played there. And so that's how thick the rivalry was the second year when I really realized how important it was.
Right. You, how was it being part of the win and being the quarterback in the win? Because it is a big deal, I think. I think you played in the Copper Bowl after that, right? That year, or no?
That was my junior.
That was a year later, right?
Yeah, it was good, man. We thought we should have got a bowl bid. That we thought we was going to Hawaii that year, and but we didn't get that invitation. But it felt good. It felt good to end the season with a win, and you know, you're going into the next season on a high, and that was the whole deal of it.
Right. And I remember it was a packed stadium, like, I think about 58,000. How was it playing in front of that many people? Because nowadays, they're not getting but maybe 40,000 into games.
Yeah, it was. When I played, it was electric at our stadium. You know, the stadium was always packed. And for the games that, especially Arizona State game, it was even more like it was even more packed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was electric. The energy was high. It was good energy.
So you win that game, and then you go the next year. You go up there in a bigger crowd. I think it was maybe 65,000-70,000. I think it was, and you were able to pull that baby off. How was that?
Yeah, and see, that's the game I played with two sore ankles, and that was one of my best games. You know, in Arizona for me it was, because I played through some pain. I couldn't even walk after that game, but we took it to them, and they came out with the all yellow on that year.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah, and we just took it to them.
Yeah, it was a close game. It was a close game, though. I think it was.
Yeah, it was a good game. Then we got our running game going pretty good in the second half, and I remember Michael Bates scored a touchdown to kind of seal it up a little bit, and that's what it was.
Right. And then your senior year, I know you had gone. I think that's the year that you guys went to the Copper Bowl. You stayed home and played in the bowl game there. Right, I think
that
it was.
Senior year was when we went to Hawaii.
Yeah, but your junior after that ASU game.
Yeah, we played the Copper Bowl.
Right, and then you played your senior year. How was your senior year? Just talk about your senior year, and I think you shared the ball then with George and yourself?
Yeah. We started out my senior year like 4-0. We had two big wins against. The Oregon game was a big win. Then we came back and had another big win against UCLA. And so we kind of controlled our fate that year. Then we went up to Washington with a chance to beat them. If we'd have beat them, we had a chance to go to the Rose Bowl, because we had beat USC, we had beat UCLA, we had beat Oregon State. So we had a really pretty good senior season.
And that game,
and we beat ASU.
Right. That game specifically, any big memories from that big win your senior year?
The ASU game?
The ASU game, yes.
Yeah, I remember one. Bobby Rowland made a hell of a play, and then that came back and just pumped us up. And
who
took it to him from that.
Who was that?
Bobby Rowland.
Oh, Bobby Rowland, yes, okay, yeah.
Yeah, a heck of an interception that game. And like... like, oh, we just took it to him. We ran it, threw it. We just took it to him.
Yeah. I think that's when you went to Hawaii. After that, you went to Hawaii your senior year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That we won't talk about that. That was not a very good game.
Yeah. That. I think everybody had checked out on that one.
Yeah. I was on the trip to Hawaii. It was in Honolulu for a week, and it was like no one showed up. You guys got shut out.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. How would you rate your experience down here in your time at U of A?
I had a great time. I got a chance to grow up as a man, become a man, being away from home that far, not really knowing nobody when I got there, but made a lot of friends, lifelong friends.
Yeah.
From that experience.
Right.
And I got the opportunity to play college ball, which I wanted to do, and I achieved that. And we didn't win any championships, but we won a lot of games, and it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. We're going to go to break here, maybe a minute or two. I'll get you back for a little short time, but I want to talk about what you're doing now with the quarterbacks you teach. Maybe talk about if you've taught any of the elite quarterbacks. I see you on Facebook doing a lot of that, kind of inspiring the kids to become college players. So we'll go to break and come back, talk about that. Thanks a bunch.
At the Villas of La Cañada, we know we're not the biggest assisted living and memory care property, but that was never our goal to begin with. From the start, we wanted close relationships with our residents. That's why we operate with a 1-to-5 caregiver-to-resident ratio. Our caregivers are able to bond closely with our residents. Our gorgeous home settings feature the kitchen and common areas in the middle so everyone can get together for homemade meals. We also have an activity director that plans parties, cookouts, sing-alongs, and other group or one-on-one activities. Our grounds are beautifully landscaped, and we have secure walking paths and soothing water features throughout our neighborhood. There's a real sense that these are homes, and in time, we become like family. So, if you're looking for an assisted living home with a loving environment and where resident care is the top priority, then you should schedule a tour and see if the Villas at La Cañada is right for you. Call 531-0086 or go to villasatlacanada.com.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
There is only one Arizona football home game left, and it's the one that matters most. Arizona and ASU will renew their rivalry and play for the Territorial Cup at Arizona Stadium on Saturday, November 24th. Get your tickets now and wear red for the Senior Day Red Out. That's Arizona versus ASU, Saturday, November 24th. Get tickets today at ArizonaWildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
Hello, Tucson. John and Cheryl Holcock of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage with your real estate news. Home inventory continues to be low. Home prices have stabilized or are slowly increasing. And mortgage rates, although rising, remain historically low. So call 520-342-6586 for all your real estate needs.
Honey, what are you doing?
I'm practicing my radio news voice.
Who do you think you are, Ed Alexander?
No, but he is.
Hey, John, Cheryl, hey.
Oh, hey, Ed.
Really, honey?
Hey, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's that time. U of A tailgating. I gotta have one of those burgers and one of those dogs, and who's under this Arizona Party Rental tent? You look familiar.
That's right, I'm Sheriff Napier.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Hey, you're Ken Flower. Aren't you wanted?
I'm speechless.
That's right, everybody wants Arizona Party Rental.
Hey, you can join the party too. Arizona Party Rental just west of Alvernon on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on business.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030. I'm on the phone with Ronnie Veal, who was the quarterback in the late 80s, never lost to ASU, one tie. There's no mark on that. He was a freshman then and went 3-0 the rest of the way. Hey, Ronnie, you're in Atlanta. You're teaching kids or teaching student athletes how to become quarterbacks. What's the message with them?
The message is hard work. Continue to work on your craft daily and see how far it can take you. You know, we just have fun working out, you know, getting better session by session, and that's what we preach.
You didn't have anything like this back in the day, I assume.
No, I wish I did.
Yeah.
I could have been a little better quarterback, but no, we didn't have this. A lot of these kids have specialized training now in every position, and receiver, running back, quarterback, linebacker, corners, everything.
Right, right.
So it's such a specialty item now.
When did you get into this and why?
Well, I got into it around 2003. The reason I got into it, I wasn't using football at any part of my life because I was trying to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a park and I saw a kid throwing with his dad, and I told him, "Hey, I can help your son become a better quarterback." And that's how it started.
Wow, what did he say? Who's this guy? And did he hire you right away, or what happened?
Yeah, he did. His name was the son's name was Ross Applegate. And that was the first kid I started working with. And he ended up getting a scholarship offer to Boston College.
Oh, wow. Wow. So then you, you saw that it was worthwhile and you discontinued it?
Yeah, I've been doing it ever since.
So tell me, any big names that you've worked with? I know you have a lot of kids. I know you go through a lot of kids.
Well, I work with Justin Fields at Georgia right now.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with him since he was in the sixth grade. I worked with Trevor Lawrence, the kid at Clemson, since the seventh grade. And those are two names everybody would know because they're freshmen and they're playing right now.
Yeah.
But I got some other kids that's doing really well. I got kids at West Georgia, Bryant, UNC, Charlotte, North Carolina A&T. So we got kids all over. We don't have any out west yet, but we got them all over.
Wow, wow, wow. And you're in a great market for it, too, because Atlanta's a great, populated really well, and you have you probably have a reputation now?
Yeah, we got a good rep. We got some of the top quarterbacks in the country, and we got some more coming from 2020 that's going to be in the top five, top ten.
Right, right. Wow, wow. Good idea. Great work. A lot of fun. I was talking to some people yesterday just to get ready for this week, and I mentioned that I was talking to you. They're excited. I still every now and again talk to Kevin Singleton. And you know,
yes.
They're great stories, the brothers, the twins, fantastic guys. Who else? I saw Doug Pfaff not long ago. His son plays on the team.
Right.
So these are the good old days for me.
Yeah, it is. And with Facebook, it's almost like you never left them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can always keep in touch with people now.
You're right.
Which is good.
Okay. Hey, we got a caller in. I think he wanted to talk to you. Quarterback question. Go right ahead.
Hey, Ron and Steve. Yeah, this is Frank. I wondered, you know, if you've seen Khalil Tate in some of the games, because I have a question about his throwing.
Yes, we get the games late over here on the East Coast, but yes, I've seen him.
Okay, well, particularly this last game, he is extremely athletic, and he's able to throw kind of on a run and sometimes like, you know, almost in the air, which I guess works for him sometimes, but sometimes he actually has time to set his feet. It looks to me like he can set his feet, but he still is kind of like in the air. I think that first interception that he had, he would have had time to kind of set his feet and lead the receiver. So what do you tell your quarterbacks? What do you believe in? You need to set your feet when you're going to throw, or depends on the situation?
Yeah, it depends on the situation, especially if the pocket is clean. But I know our offensive line at Arizona been getting – they kind of beat up, and he's been getting beat up a little bit. So that causes the feet to become nervous as well. So sometimes you feel some things that's not there versus being able to have the pocket clean and just deliver the ball on time. So, you know, coming out of one offense, going into another one, that could be a problem too, you know, as far as like his movement in the pocket or getting out of the pocket. So there's a lot of factors to go with it, but I believe – you know, our offensive line has been beat up a little bit, and he's been beat up a little bit, so the nervousness might come from the pressure that's supposedly there but not there.
Yeah, but is I guess my question is you're going to lose accuracy when you're throwing not just on a run, but I don't know, Steve, you can jump in on this too.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's funny because Ronnie was a running quarterback like Khalil was or is. I know exactly what you're doing because he does that a lot. He throws on the run a lot.
Well, not just throws.
Yeah,
on the
It might be designed to throw on the run, but the accuracy is your accuracy shouldn't suffer from moving or in the pocket. You know, that's something we work on with our guys. But if you move to a spot where you still can throw the ball off a platform, and that's what he needs to continue to work on.
So, I gotcha.
Frank, but I get what you're saying. Saturday was one of those weird games where nothing went right, and he did that a lot. He did run on the run or pass on the run frequently because he had no choice. It was a crazy game.
Yeah, he probably had a lot of pressure in his face. Yeah, and then pressure makes you move.
Right, right. Thanks for the call, Frank. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening, too. Hey, Ronnie, what did you think of Khalil when he came on the scene last year and he had all those rushing touchdowns, rushing games? Because you were, for a lot of years, maybe more than 15, maybe more than that, were the highest ranking quarterback on the run until some of the more recent times.
Yeah, he exploded on the scene, and it took Arizona to different heights with that. But, you know, people watch film and kind of got the idea, you know,
right,
how are we going to stop Khalil Tate? That's our main objective.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, that's what they've done. They've taken a lot of those explosive runs that he had last year and curtailed them. And now they're going to say, like they used to do, make you beat us with your arm versus your legs.
Right. Right, and that's what he wants to do. It's just weird that he doesn't run it often or more often.
Yeah, you know, that might be play design, and I go back to that because if you look at Rich Rod offense versus Sumlin or Mazzoni, that's a different whole, you know, type of offense.
Yeah. Do you know Sumlin? Has he kind of looked at some of your
quarterbacks? I haven't met him yet. I know of him. But we trying to get a couple of quarterbacks to come out in the spring that they can look at, and we got some good ones for him if they want to go that far from home.
Right, right, right. Well, I know that, you know, it's one of those programs that wants to get out and reach out beyond, you know, the West Coast, and they were trying to do that more and more, especially with him, that they'll kind of maybe reach out to you or to Georgia recruits. I think that's it, Ronnie. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'll tell everybody I see this week that you say hello. Thanks for joining.
Unless, yes, I will.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
And bear down.
Oh, bear down. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Ronnie.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you.
Hey, now we have on the line Heath Bray.
Hey, Steve.
How are you? I just got off the phone with Ronnie Veal, a former teammate.
Oh, you did? Really? I'd love to hear that. I sorry, I was supposed to call in a little while ago. I got caught up at work, and
you got to make some money. You got to make some money. If I had money, I would give it to you, Heath.
Yes, sir. I would like that.
how are you?
I'd love to hear heard Ronnie though. Ronnie's he's one of my favorite guys.
Yeah, he was one of the best guys when I covered him. Let me tell you something. Ronnie is still Ronnie. He doesn't have a lot to say.
No. You know, he didn't have a lot to say even to us.
Really?
He would give you more conversation with a look.
Yeah.
Than he would with words.
Right, right. One of the great guys too. At some point, did you play quarterback because he was injured, or George was injured, or
was... It was George was injured. It was a Miami game in '92. I had played '91. I broke my back before the season, and ended up starting in three or four different positions on defense. It started against Miami in '91 at middle linebacker, and got to be friends with Gino Toretta somehow. And the next year we go play him in the Orange Bowl in '92, and I start against him at quarterback. And he comes up and he pinches me in the butt before the game, and he goes, "Are you playing quarterback today?" I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "We're going to kill you." And I started getting a few F-bombs and told him to get on his side of the field and that whole deal.
Right, right, right. Well, what a career you had. You know, great time to be a Wildcat back then. Yeah? No?
It was.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of the start. You were part of the start of Desert Swarm, early 90s?
Yes. Well, you know, we had the young guys that were coming in. We played on a really good defense that had the Singleton brothers, Dana Wells. Mm-hmm. We had the guys, Darren Case, linebackers, and Donnie Salem.
Yeah.
And Jeff Hammerschmidt was a phenomenal DB. And then we had a little bit of a lull, and then we had these young guys coming in, Jimmy Hoffman, Teddy Bruschi, Rob Waldrop, Brandon Sanders, Tony Bowie.
I've heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I started on that defense the year before it became the Desert Swarm. I have a picture of us tackling a guy named, Terrell Davis. That played for Long Beach State before he transferred to Georgia with us in '91. It's me and Teddy and Rob Waldrop, the three of us making a tackle together. And I was at that point a junior, and they were both freshmen. Teddy ended up redshirting. Rob did not. And then I came back in 94, 95 and was on the offensive staff with wide receivers and quarterbacks during the progression of that Desert Storm that started in 92, 93, and then was still relative in 94, 95 as well.
Dick Tomey had a knack for finding places for players. He did that with D-Lou. He did it with you. Could you talk real quick about how he was able to do that? And then we'll go to break and talk about ASU.
Yeah, well, that's something I've talked about a lot, is that, you know, everyone gives Coach Tomey a bunch of grief saying he put all his best players on defense. Well, I mean, we had some really good offensive players.
Oh, heck yeah, yeah.
But what happens is that you have a big deficiency that we had was depth. And so you have 25, 30 guys that are players, where SC's got 60 or 65. And so you put the best players in the best slots, and that happened a lot on defense. And, I mean, Jeff Hammerschmidt was a quarterback, actually started quarterback his freshman year, and became one of the best DBs Arizona's ever had. D-Lou was a running back, became one of the best DBs. Mm-hmm. I came in as a quarterback. I didn't see the field as a quarterback until my senior year after I'd already been hurt because I'd been playing defense for the first 3 years of my career. But you know, we would stop guys, we'd punt it 48 yards and we'd stop them. They'd punt it back to us 38 and then we'd do that 3 or 4 times. Next thing you know, you're on their side of the field.
Right. Right. Strategy. Strategy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it didn't sell a lot of tickets.
No. That's what they're suffering now. Not selling a lot of tickets. Let's go to break. Come back. Talk about the big ASU game this weekend.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks.
Plumbing problems? Call Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Whether you have a leaky faucet, need a new water heater, or new plumbing construction, our qualified professional technicians can help you with your plumbing issues. Picture Rocks is family-owned and operated, and all our work is guaranteed. Call Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing today at 440-4069 or picturerockscooling.com.
Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing.
The 2018 holiday season is upon us, and BBB wants to help you shop smart and give wisely. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, reminding you of our Holiday Helper microsite at BBB.org. We have tips for Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and Giving Tuesday. Don't allow scammers to steal your holiday joy. Again, go to BBB.org. Happy holidays from the entire BBB team.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in. All offers on approved credit and expire 12/3/18. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or lexusoftucson.com.
Offense comes to the line. The ball is snapped. Sweep toss to the halfback. Trick play. He's going to throw it. Taking a shot deep. It's tipped and intercepted by Crest Insurance.
Wow, what a play by Crest Insurance. Nobody saw that coming, but Crest had the coverage in place that avoided a disaster. That's the benefit of an experienced team. Great coverage when it matters most.
Whether it's home, auto, or your business, the team at Crest Insurance makes all the difference. For outstanding coverage when you need it most, go with Crest Insurance.
I'm Dr. Cecilia Brewington. If you're among the 40% of Americans ages 50 and older who are still not getting tested for colorectal cancer, you're out of excuses. Under the Affordable Care Act, the federal government will now require nearly all private insurance companies to cover virtual colonoscopy and other less invasive tests. More importantly, these tests would be covered with no copay. That means there are now a number of fully covered colorectal cancer screening exams available. Please talk to your doctor to see which of these tests are right for you. Don't be one of the thousands of Americans to die from a largely preventable disease that is nearly always treatable if found early. The best test is the one that you choose to use. There have never been more fully covered options to fit your lifestyle and your schedule. Take action. Get screened for colorectal cancer. You owe it to yourself and your loved ones. For more information on virtual colonoscopy, please visit radiologyinfo.org.
Your source for prep sports in Arizona. Beyond the box score. Behind the headlines. Arizona Sports Preps 365 on ArizonaSports.com.
This is Arizona Sports Preps 365, covering everything under the Arizona high school sun. As we bounce around the state, we do it every single week.
Arizona Sports Prep 365, Saturday nights, 7 to 9 on KVOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030, KVOI. We have our eye on entertainment.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030. I'm on with Heath Bray, former U of A football player, late 80s, early 90s. Hey, you're the one that came up with the mustard and rust. True?
You know, I think I'm the one that got the most mileage out of it. I was at a recruiting event for Coach for the U of A, and we held it at Coach Rich Ellerson's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard him say something to the effect, I don't think it was something that he had come up with. It was just something, he was a brilliant guy. And it was just something that came out of his mouth. And I took that and I ran with it. And I guarantee you, my kids, I have passed it on to them as well. We were, and my wife went to ASU, and she just, there's one day out of the year that we decided we're just not going to be together. We're just going to go and sit in our own rooms. And it's a great way to describe those Satanists up in Tempe.
Sure, sure. How is it living up there as a UA, former UA player?
Well, it gets, I mean, I've got some really good friends that played at ASU, and I think it's not a, it's not, you don't really ever single out the people that you played against. It's more of a hatred for the collective.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my really good friends is a guy named Juan Roque that was a very good football player at, ASU. Yeah, he and I have done a lot of TV stuff together. And, he's a really good friend of mine, and we give each other some lighthearted ribbing back and forth.
I've seen it on Facebook.
We try to come up with the most creative. We try to come up with the best, ribbing we can. You know, the most creative. But, he's very dedicated to his guys, and I'm very dedicated to mine. And you know, there was, I think it was, what was it? Sean came up, the guy from Fox.
Oh yeah.
And he asked me. We were doing a video.
Sean Mooney.
Sean Mooney. Yes. And we were going to do a video thing before the game, and he came to my office. And he asked me if I could get another guy there, and I brought Ty Parton, who was a team captain with me in 92. Mm-hmm. He was my best friend, Ty. And so I got Ty down here, and Ty gave, some pretty strong, but I don't know, mechanical answers. And Sean goes to me and goes, listen, dude, this is going to be the pregame show we're putting on. You got to give me something. And I was like, don't worry about it. And I had a blue suit on, a red tie, and a white shirt. And I had my U of A pin on, and I was, hamming it up as much as I could. And he goes, well, Heath, I guess I can just ask you one question. He says, what does the U of A ASU rivalry mean to you? And I looked at him, I said, well, Sean, I said, to me, it's the classic battle of good and evil. I said, you have them up in Tempe with Satan running around the field wearing mustard and rust. And you got us being the athletic, or superior athletic and academic institution down in Tucson wearing the colors of our country. For me, it's an easy decision. And that was the whole interview. And he just cuts the camera and goes, perfect.
Right. Cut, and, we'll work with it.
Yeah, so we can work with that one.
Right.
But it's completely off the cuff. And the thing is, too, is that, everyone says, well, what's it like, living up in Phoenix, Scottsdale, with all the Sun Devils? I said, it's great. You go down to Tucson, you get a great education, come up here and take all their jobs. It's fantastic.
Sure, if it were that easy, but I get it. Hey, Ronnie was talking about his time here, and he remembered the Derek Hill touchdown in 88.
Yes.
The Roland interception.
He threw it.
Yeah, exactly. He threw it. The Roland interception, some of the great moments. What were some of yours?
The ones that I talk about the most, because when I was involved with the University of Arizona for 8 different years, and of those 8 years, I was involved with the University of playing and coaching. We were 6-2. So there's tons of them. Derek's thank you catch, because evidently he said thank you to the guy he caught the ball over, which was a phenomenal story. Bobby Rowland's interception was phenomenal. The best one for me was in 88, I got the Derek Hill catch, but I was a redshirt. I wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from North Carolina, so, you know, I grew up with Clemson, South Carolina, Duke, Carolina, Auburn, Alabama. You know, Arizona State. I was like,
right. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really understand it. And then 89, I was playing, and I was actually starting on all the special teams and playing on defense. And we came up to Tempe. And my understanding is it was the biggest crowd they'd ever had up until the Super Bowl. There was almost 74,000.
Exactly. That's what it was listed as, yes.
Yeah, and so we got there, and we were wearing all white, and they had decided they were going to go all mustard.
Yeah.
Well, they warmed up in their you know, their rust-colored shirts and their short bus yellow pants and helmets, and then they went in the locker room. We went in the locker room, and we're getting ready to come out, and I'm getting pelted by M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them actually sticks in my face mask, and I look up, there's some guy up there saying, you know, I did it, and I was like, whatever. So I eat it, and then we run out on the field, and then they run out.
Uh-huh.
And we called them the Screaming Bananas.
The Screaming Bananas, right. That was
Martin. Oh, my God.
That was Larry Marmy, I think. Larry Marmy coached?
Yeah, it was Larry Marmy, and we just took it to their ass, and it was phenomenal.
Right, right.
And it was just one of those things where you're like, as a U of A player, I mean, I'm sure they feel differently, you know, from their perspective. From our perspective, like, I would never, ever want to be those guys.
Yeah.
They look awful. They play awful. We're whipping their tail. What in the heck are they doing?
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, you just got on the bus and you're high-fiving your buddies. You're like, dude, I made the right decision to go to the right school in the right state.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a very, very strong feeling. I'll tell you one quick one, though, that happened after I played. And we were up in 98. Ty was playing for the Chiefs, and I had coached, and I was out of it, and I was doing finance up here in Scottsdale. And we went down to the U of ASU game in Tempe when Keith Smith and Ortiz Shinkins were the quarterbacks rotating.
Yeah.
And Ty and I were talking. We were up at halftime, and we're talking on the sidelines, and because that's where we were watching the game. And we're standing about a foot and a half apart, and an entire unopened can of Coke comes flying between us and embeds itself into the turf. And Ty looks at me, and I look at him, and I go to pick it up, and the daggone thing's unopened. It weighs, I don't know, whatever unopened
right,
can of Coke
sure.
weighs. And I'm like, somebody threw that at us. And I look at Ty, and I look up, and there is a dude, like 20 rows up, screaming his head off, saying it was him. And I lost my cookies immediately.
Uh-huh.
The police had to get me. I was trying to crawl up. Steve, you know me. As bad as it could be, that's how bad it was.
Right, right.
What I didn't understand was that as I was yelling at him, there were probably 800 to 900 people that were within earshot that all thought I was talking to them individually.
Oh, sure, sure. you're the one that needed security to get out of the building.
Yeah. It was, stuff was coming out. It was more than a can of Coke coming out of the stands at that point.
Sure, sure.
But it just goes to show you that, I mean, my ex-wife, her mom was a huge lawyer here in town, and we kicked that field goal to beat him in 95. And the guy behind her just takes this whole bottle of Coke and just dumps it over her head and walks out.
Wow.
And she's, you know, and you're like, all right. And the people that, from ASU, go down to Tucson have similar stories, too.
Right.
There's a hatred there that's palatable. I mean, it's palpable.
Right. Are you going to be down here for the weekend?
I am. I'm coming down. I'm bringing my two sons. The 2014 game, I didn't know how big a game it was going to be. I had my parents fly out. I had all... my two kids and my wife's two kids, which are essentially my stepkids. So we had eight of us, and we went to the 2014 game, and midway through the game, UCLA loses, and now we realize it's a
winner
game for the
right.
South Championship. And we had a blast, and I took the boys again in 2016. I don't have a good experience when I go to the stadium in Tempe. I mean, I've been up in some really high dollar boxes and on the field, and it's just I'd rather watch it from home.
Right, right. Well, let me say, they won in 214, they won in 216, so they need you to come down here in 218.
Yeah, well, I guarantee you, you'll see or hear something from me between now and then.
We'll see you out there. I know Anthony and I will probably see you out there. Hey, thanks for calling. Thanks for eventually getting in here. And,
sorry, I was late, buddy.
That's okay. No, appreciate your insight to all of it. Obviously, that's why we have you. We'll see you this weekend. Thanks a bunch. Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. And
bear down, guys.
Enjoy. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You're going to see all your buddies here.
Bear down, guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's that time. U of A tailgating. I gotta have one of those burgers and one of those dogs. And who's under this Arizona Party Rental tent? You look familiar.
That's right, I'm Sheriff Napier.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Hey, you're Ken Flower. Aren't you wanted?
I'm speechless.
That's right. Everybody wants Arizona Party Rental.
Hey, you can join the party, too. Arizona Party Rental just west of Alvernon on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Yes, Mr. Willard.
Julie, I just got in. There's no coffee and there wasn't any soap in the restroom. And we're out of copy paper. What's up?
Sorry, we have so many vendors. It's just so hard to keep track of them all.
Well, can't we get our products from one supplier?
There is a solution. Gibson's Office Solutions. Hi, I'm Matt Ewing.
And I'm Josh Ewing.
Give us a call today at 622-6738.
Or visit us online at gibsonsaz.com. Gibson's, your number one source for all things office.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday during the noon hour, what's the impact of these U.S. troops on the community of Nogales, Arizona, and the movement of commerce between the United States and Mexico? Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Anywhere in the world live listening, buckmastershow.com.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on news.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball, everybody, here on KVOI 1030. I'm Steve Rivera, host of the show. I'm on now with John Kaiser. Welcome, John. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you doing there, Steve?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for calling in. I wanted to pick your brain on your time with U of A and the ASU series, but you have it from a different perspective in as much as you never lost, and you were part of the team that started this whole run of greatness.
Yeah, we started the streak in 82. I think they came in our place number 3 in the nation, expecting to go to Rose Bowl up for a national championship, and they walked out of our stadium with their heads down getting blown out.
How was that? Because they have all these expectations, and you put an end to that emotionally as a team.
Oh, as a player, it's just exciting. I mean, it's what you play for, your rivalry and beating them and taking something away from them was even icing on the cake. I remember coming out in the stadium at that time where all their fans were in the corner of the end zone, you know, with roses throwing them at us like they're going to the Rose Bowl. And I think those roses were pretty wilted by the time they left the stadium.
and you guys started a streak that was very strong, very good. How was that whole run for you guys?
It was just amazing. I mean, it's Coach, you know, I played for Coach Smith, and, you know, he's a very goal-oriented man, and his number one goal every year was to beat ASU. I mean, it's to win the conference is number two, but beating ASU is always number one for him. And so he really pushed it, taught it, and expected us to do it. And it was a great time.
Yeah. Typically, you know, when your season, I think you finished 6-4, 6-4-1 or whatever it was, your season was okay. But, and everyone talks about it, as long as you guys beat ASU, everything will be okay. Is that typically the case, or is that overstated?
I think that's a little bit overstated. I mean, if you're having a disappointing season like we did that year, I mean, we started off, I think, 0-2-1, then we went to Notre Dame and beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame, so that kind of brought us back to playing. But we had some tough losses early on, so it gets to that point. But I think it's a little overstated just because, you know, it's just you're playing all year long to win, but I think if you're on a kind of down note, it's a good way to end your year.
Right. And the rest of the year, I think, the rest of the seasons, because you guys didn't go to a bowl game after that. You didn't go.
No, we were on probation for a couple of years for the Tony Mason era.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Back in those days, that's what they did compared to what they do nowadays.
Right. Well, you were in '82. Were you a freshman or a sophomore then?
No, I was a junior college transfer. So I was a junior. So I came in my junior and senior year.
You're telling me stuff that I should have known, but I didn't know. And we've talked about
that's
this.
Right.
See, this is the Rivera encyclopedia of nowhere. You know, of nowhere. But you had a great career. Tell me about your career, and you're looking back to U of A.
Oh, wow. It's just an amazing atmosphere. I think when I was driving around earlier, I heard Ronnie talking about the electricity in the stadium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I think all the games on TV nowadays, and it's that they lost a little electricity in that stadium because of that, maybe.
Yeah.
In my opinion, at least. But back in the day, I mean, that was a place to be and things to do. It was just electric, and we were a really good team with a lot of great players and great coaching staff. And then my senior year, we got the third in the nation, and it was just buzzing. And then we had a tough loss up at Cal, but it was just a great, great experience. And I'm a kid from Wisconsin, came down to Wisconsin, Arizona, and I'm so glad I came to Arizona.
Right, and you stayed here. You never left?
Well, I left when I played professionally for a few years, but then I went back.
Pretty much
since 88, 89.
Yeah, yeah. So I knew you had left, but you had come back. I mean, this is kind of home to you, obviously, since that time. But what makes this town so special?
I think just the people. I mean, it's just a great town. The people are wonderful. I mean, it's everybody's from somewhere else, it seems like.
Yeah.
And people are here because they want to be, not because they have to be.
Right.
And it's just a great college town. It's I just enjoy Tucson a lot.
You've witnessed some games with ASU where crazy things happen. Maybe outside of the Cecil return, what else have you seen? I mean, kicks from the Zendejas and all these things. Can you come up with a couple that are like?
Well, my senior Max made the field goal as time ran out to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the what was that one year? The block punts at the end of the game. You know, missed field goals. For each team, unfortunately, when we missed a few.
Sure. That was not too long ago.
Yeah, it just seems like all these games just come down to one or two plays, and it's just that's what I kind of take out of it. It's always both teams playing with all their heart and pride, and just it becomes one or two big plays a game that makes a difference. I mean, to Trunk Canada, I remember being on the sidelines watching them fly down the sidelines.
Yeah.
And celebrating with those guys. It's just a fun atmosphere and seeing the players, how much they love to beat ASU.
Did you have any friends on the other side of the line there going up against them?
Not really back in those days. I became friends with a lot of them afterwards. I played against them or with a few of them, but I didn't really know too many of them that well, just maybe because I was not from the West Coast. And
yeah.
But a lot of the kids from California and Arizona, I just wasn't from the West Coast. And there was a lot of guys, and I was a junior college transfer, so I just didn't have that same thing that way growing up.
What did you find out about the rivalry? You know, not too many people who aren't from here don't really know.
It's an unbelievable rivalry. I mean, when you know, I grew up in the Midwest, and you see a lot of the Michigan, Ohio State,
right,
things like that. But it's like the intensity of this game, I don't care what anybody says, there's nothing bigger and better than that. I don't care if it's Michigan, Ohio State, if it's, you know, USC, UCLA. Those are the games we saw as kids growing up. But then you come to this atmosphere and the people, there's so much, you know, I don't want to say hatred, but.
No, you can say it because it's true. It's true.
It's just the two cities just want to beat the living crap out of each other. And I think there's just an amazing atmosphere, and it's just a lot of pride in both cities. And it's just much bigger, much, much bigger rivalry than I ever thought before I came here.
Yeah.
Now I tell you, when you go back west, you go, watch Arizona, Arizona State if you want to see great rivalry.
It's, right. You're a pragmatic guy, stable minded, if that's the word, or two words.
I don't know if anybody else calls me that.
But I would say when they lose in games like this, they've lost last year. Rich Rod didn't have that much of a success against them. What goes through your mind?
After cussing a little bit and anger, it's tough because sometimes we go back to our generation and.
Yeah.
I just think it was taken much more seriously than it is now. Maybe I'm wrong by saying it because I was part of it, but you know, certain coaches put more emphasis on this game than other coaches have, and I think Rich Rod put a big emphasis on it. Just, you know, he came in when it was a tough situation. Coach Tomey, Coach Smith, I mean, they just strive for this game, and they knew it was a huge game and a big game of the season to go where they have to go. So I think it's still a great rivalry. It's always been intense, but I don't think it's not like, maybe all the rivalries are that way. They're not the same as they used to be.
Right. I know you've been to most of the games this year. Follow it closely. What do you think about this year's team and their chances this weekend?
Well, of course we're going to win. at least I hope so. You know, we got off to a disappointing start, I thought, but then you realize, you know, we are a pretty young team and a new system. And, you know, I was disappointed early in the year in the program, but we've gotten better and better, and you know, last week was just a tough loss against a great team up there, and just a lot of mistakes. But I think we've improved a lot, and I see big things happening in the future.
Yeah, no, and this game this weekend, I think it's going to be, well, the crowds have been disappointing to this point. I think this weekend it's going to be a packed house. It has to be.
God, I hope so. That's the one thing I think we spoke earlier about, where the crowds aren't the same because everything's shown on TV and
mm-hmm.
you know, by the way, playing at 8 o'clock half the time, and you know, it doesn't help. But I'm hoping for a huge crowd, a big U of A crowd, you know, three quarters of the crowd, and just being loud and you know, making ASU struggle with noise.
Right. It's always good to see you ex guys get together, though. Talk about the good old days. I run into you guys every now and again at a tent or two. So hey, we'll see you this weekend. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you and enjoy the game. We'll see what happens. I'm not sure. I don't. It's too early in the week to make my predictions, so I won't do it Monday. Take care, John.
Thanks a lot. Bear down.
All right. Thanks, John. Here we go. End of today's show. We'll see you tomorrow or talk to you tomorrow with some more guests. Appreciate it.